And welcome everybody to our traditional pre-close briefing. This thing's not working. Oh, there we go. I think overall this has been a fairly choppy 6 months, as everyone would be aware, with lots of things going on the ground. I think if we look at our operating profit, that's expected to be in line with what we recorded in the first half of the prior financial year. We continue to see good inflows into both our asset management and wealth management business, and we continue to see a shift in the business model from our non-lending activities continue to grow. The South African business has performed ahead of the prior year in rand terms, and that's an increase in revenue across the board, and we've held costs below inflation. Australia has returned to profitability as a result of a very significant decline in impairments as we dealt with the historic problem loan portfolio there. And the UK operations will report results behind the prior year, largely as a consequence of lower investment and trading income, as the environment in that part of the world was very difficult in the past 6 months. Overall, the results will be affected by the depreciation of the rand, which has depreciated about 15% against sterling up to the other day. Yesterday it also blew out. So that is also reflective of what's going on the ground in South Africa in recent weeks and in recent times. So from a sterling perspective, you know, we're swimming upstream. In rand, if we reported in rand, it would be quite a different story. It has been a difficult environment to grow revenue, and we are expecting operating income, that's gross income, to decline marginally in pounds. That comes from a decline in investment and trading income, and a marginal decrease in net interest income in sterling. We continue to see a strong growth in fees and commissions, and that obviously is off the back of a decent performance from our wealth management and our asset management business and our advisory businesses around the world. So recurring income as a percentage of total operating income has gone up from 68% to 70%, again reflecting the lower trading revenue. Expenses are expected to increase in pounds by between 1% and 2%. That's largely driven by the acquisitions that we made towards the back end of last year. And we did make two small acquisitions during this last 6 months. One was a business in Ireland, which was partially wealth, partially advisory. And the other was a asset finance business in Australia, which is just coming on book at the moment. So that would have had some impact on expenses. But overall, the expense line has been fairly stable to down a bit. And the cost-to-income ratio will, as a consequence, increase. But is still within our target range, which is below 65% or 65% and below. And overall earnings per share in sterling is expected to be lower than the prior year, but substantially ahead of the second half of last year. And that if that number was calculated in rand, it would be reasonably ahead of the equivalent period last year. So really the weakness of the rand has had quite a lot of impact on these results, or will have quite a lot of impact on the results. I think if we look at core growth drivers, we've seen third-party assets under management increase by 2% to £98.3 billion, which is an increase of 5% on a neutral currency basis. Customer deposits decreased by 2%, but an increase of 3% on a neutral currency basis. Obviously, this is a line item that we are not trying to grow at the moment. We're a little bit awash with liquidity, and liquidity is very expensive, so our concentration is more on diversifying the base as opposed to growing the base. Loans and advances decreased 3%, but that's an increase on a neutral currency base of 2%, which came primarily out of the South African business. As I mentioned, cash, we're a bit awash with this stuff at the moment. Obviously, it's the opposite of where life was in 2008. We are seeing liquidity start building in the system where people are happy with the risk, and it is quite hard to find good assets at decent margin. as you know, organisations are starting to see a big build-up in liquidity. Obviously, parts of Europe are a different kettle of fish, but if you're not in those parts, you can find liquidity quite easily. And so, our, again, as I mentioned, diversify funding sources, limiting concentration risk, and reducing the cost of liabilities is our core strategy at the moment, as opposed to growing our liquidity and growing our deposits. Our loan-deposit ratio is 67%, I think that is, you know, for us, we don't want to see it that, you know, much lower than that. We'd rather see it going the other way and lifting a bit. So at we had about just over £10 billion of cash and near cash, which, you know, we're managing, trying to manage a little bit lower. Capital ratios will remain, we expect to remain stable during this period, and both Investec Limited and Investec PLC's capital adequacy ratios are still comfortably within our target range. I think on impairments, we expect our impairments on core loans to drop by 24%, roughly. You know, if it's 26 or 22, it's roughly within that range based on our current best estimates, which is furthermore quite a big decrease on the second half of last year. Impairments in South Africa and the UK are more or less in line with the previous year, and I think that does reflect the economic conditions in both markets as being a little bit more difficult than we're seeing that with most of the South African banks, where impairments are actually ticked up a bit. But you know, ours we believe are fairly stable, and hopefully they will still start coming down quite comfortably. But the South African impairments were running at about 0.6, which is probably roughly where they are now. Impairments in Australia will come down, as we mentioned at the full year, substantially, and that's the trend that we're actually seeing. And that we expect the overall credit loss ratio to be somewhere between 0.8 and 0.85 compared to 1.12 and 1.08 for the equivalent period. We also expect impairments in Kensington to be lower than the first half of last year, and that would mean substantially lower than the second half of last year. If we look at our core operating units, I think asset management has continued off the back of its previous trend. It's seen positive net inflows of £1.1 billion up to the end of August. One expects its financial performance to be in line with the first half, and obviously that's in sterling, not in neutral currency. So there is some drag in that financial performance coming from the weakness of the rand. And, its assets under management in sterling are down 1%, up 3% in neutral currency. Our wealth and investment business is performing ahead of the prior year. It's got higher average funds under management. Obviously, it's been very busy with the integration of Williams de Broglie. That was not a small integration. That was quite a large integration. It was migrated on the 31st of August, or that week of the 31st of August, onto the Investec Wealth platforms, and that migration went exceptionally well. And the name has been changed now to Investec Wealth and Investments, and it has been well accepted. But we do not see the benefit in the first trading period. We should see some benefit of that in the second half, but the full benefit will only be reflected in the year 2014. I think the other issue here, situation here is NCB in Ireland managed, when we bought it, €1.3 billion. As a consequence of the Investec takeover, the funds flow actually opened up, and we now manage at the end of August €1.7 billion. So I think that has also been well received both in Ireland and by the NCB staff. We still have to implement the migration of that business onto the Investec platforms, which will be the next task at hand. So right now we're very well covered in the UK. We have 15 UK offices, and we have a fully fledged wealth management business in the UK. Obviously, strategically, we want to that this business now needs to be internationalized, taken to the next level, and that will be once all these businesses are fully integrated, that's where management will concentrate going forward. So funds under management are up 6% to £36.7 billion, but in neutral currency, that would be up 10%. If we did it in Rand, it would be up a massive number. I haven't even bothered to work it out. Then I think the specialist bank, this is obviously the area that's most affected by what has been going on in the world, most affected by the European crisis, most affected by the shift in the banking business model. And this is where still a lot of our challenges live. I think if we look at the key earnings drivers here, we've seen moderate growth in book, which is mainly in South Africa. We've seen some improved margins in South Africa. We've seen some squeeze in the UK and Australia as a consequence of that surplus liquidity I spoke about, and the fact that it's quite hard to find assets at good yields. And that's obviously something that we'll have to manage out over the next while as one moves into a more normal environment, if one moves into a more normal environment. Obviously, there is a new normal, and we are adjusting our business model for the new normal. I think we look at fees and commissions. I think corporate banking activity has remained quite low, as there has been a lack of confidence. Corporates sitting on cash, and not investing their cash in any kind of infrastructure or anything of that sort. So we're not seeing that much activity in the corporate banking side. We've seen a reasonable uptick in private client transactional flow and our professional finance businesses. These businesses have a lot of strategic initiatives, both in the UK and Australia and in South Africa. And, we hopefully will see a lot of traction coming from them. We've launched transactional banking in Australia. We will be launching it in the UK in the not-too-distant future, I think October. That will be a similar account to the Investec account that you have, the South Africans have been used to, and we're reasonably confident that thing will get a lot of traction over time. But that is a long-term strategy. We actually, strangely enough, have seen very good performance from our agency and advisory business. When I say agency, I mean primarily our advisory businesses, and we've done well in our advisory businesses, both in the UK and Australia and South Africa. Obviously, you're aware that we rationalised our securities business in South Africa by integrating it more with our what we used to call our capital markets business, and adopting a different approach on research in South Africa. But obviously, the costs were still around at the first half of this year. On investment and trading income, I think this is where it's been fairly difficult, because lots of things that you need activity for these businesses, and activity is not where it should be. And I think if you look at investment banks around the world, they'll find that there is much lower flow activity. We still have good performance from our unlisted portfolios in South Africa and Hong Kong. We've seen a weaker performance from our fixed income activities and our investment portfolios in the UK. So if you look at the overall, in South Africa, we expect to be up against last year, UK and Australia down against last year. And then costs overall, we've had a marginal increase in costs in Australia as a consequence of an acquisition. In home currency, we've had no increase in Rand, because we've been obviously doing a whole lot of rationalisation activities in South Africa, and similar thing in the UK, no increase in costs in the specialist bank in the UK. As we integrate these businesses more globally, we obviously would expect to see costs come down. So in summary, just to go to the old style of reporting, Ursula thought she'd be kind to you analysts and give you a sense of where life would have been under the old style, so Mr. Ladbroke doesn't throw bullets at us or darts. I can see him smiling there. I mean, property activities are really performing in line with last year. Private client activity is well ahead of last year as a consequence of a big drop-off in impairments. Corporate institutional banking is where we are behind, and that's because not a lot has been happening in the corporate space. Advisory and investment activity is ahead of last year, and our centre a little bit better than last year. So other information, our effective tax rates will be approximately 19.2%. I think that's pretty similar to last year, somewhere in the, just around about 20. Weighted number of shares in issue, 857 million. So, you know, in summary, I think we will see, continue to see an overall decline in the level of impairments. However, activity levels are still not where they should, we know we'd like them to be, and certain aspects of our activity, you know, revenue is difficult, to, quite difficult to generate at the moment. Obviously, there's been some positive signs in Europe in recent days, which could change things, and we're starting to see, you know, some, I suppose, light at the end of the tunnel, but as we've seen over the last 4 years, as you see light in the tunnel, then some dark cloud comes and covers the light. And that's what we've been used to, stop, start, stop, start. I think we have continued to see good net inflows into our wealth and our asset management businesses. We've been making a substantial effort in our one bank processes to align our infrastructure and process to create appropriate platforms for growth and development of those businesses, and clearly we're trying to get them into shape for one day when hopefully we get a tailwind as opposed to the headwinds that we've been accustomed to over the last 5 years. We do believe that we have a very good franchise. I think our franchise is very well accepted wherever we operate, and that we have a very solid balance sheet position. And we believe that as a group we are well placed. We have our work cut out, and that will continue. But we believe we're very well placed when the systems start turning, when the economic activities start turning. Now, that may be take some time in coming. And, you know, some people think 2 years. Some people think we can be in a Japan scenario. Some people think maybe 5 years. We don't know. But we have to run our business on a reasonable scenario where we prepared for further downturn, but we don't throw the baby out of the bathwater in the event of upturns. And we are concentrating and building some of our key strategic positions in the markets in which we operate. So that's a summary of the story. We can now go to questions. Yeah. I'll start with South Africa and then we'll go to the UK.
Stephen, thank you. Given the amount of cash that you have,
yeah,
and the fall in the European property markets, industrial equity, financial equity, and asset prices, isn't now a good opportunity to be acquisitive, or are you still really concerned about there is more downside risk?
I guess it depends on where. I've just been on a visit to Ireland, and if the European situation holds, which is our base case, that Europe will hold and that they will do whatever they can to keep it alive, you know, there are big opportunities in some of those markets where we have expertise. But, you know, as I said to a lot of people, if I was brave, we would have been buying Spanish bonds, you know, 3 months ago, or Irish bonds when they're up at 14%. But what would you guys do if it went the wrong way? So, you know, we just can't be that brave. But there are, you know, some areas where we think we can take a lot more risk. But you obviously got to watch the blowout scenario. So there's still no-go areas for us. But certainly, you know, there's some places where you can take a bit more risk. More? Nothing's happening. Voigt, you're quiet today. You're not firing us today. Okay, fine. Anything? Okay, I'll ship to London. Yogi, we can't hear you. Can you see? He looks like Mr. Miyagi. Remember,
Good morning. A couple if I may. Firstly, on the excess liquidity, it continues to build, and it's quite an expensive habit, given that banks aren't dying from heart attack anymore. Can you give us a guidance as to when you expect your loans to deposits ratio to turn around?
Well, we've closed down some or repriced some liquidity channels, and as I said to you, our strategy is to continue to diversify. But yeah, that is our big challenge now, is to deploy that cash. So and that's what we're trying to look for, opportunities to deploy the cash, and we have to close down some of the channels, which means that maybe some of the money that's been coming in will not come in. So it's a balance between deploying the cash and reducing the cost of liabilities. But it there is a hole in my pocket, and it comes from there. It's a big drag on us at the moment. Obviously, we've got the liquidity requirements of Basel III, which you understand from the UK, the FSA have already more or less implemented. The Aussies certainly have implemented it. They don't care about phasing. But we're well within those requirements. And then South Africa is a different kettle of fish, because the system can't meet Basel III. But obviously, the central bank is providing repo tough facilities, etc., to enable us to comfortably meet that. So, yeah, we are concentrating on bringing the cost of liabilities down. But we're also looking for some, places to put that money. More questions in London? Is that it? Enjoying your coffee? We got you right in the spot there. Okay, then that's it. You can have tea, coffee, whatever food we got for you. Welcome. Thank you.